To this purpose, to this end, you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you that you should follow in his steps. All of us have been called to suffer. All of us have been called to follow Christ, to follow in his steps. In his steps first of suffering, in his steps of dying, and in his steps of living. That is what the Word of God, which has just been read, indicates to us. We are to follow in his steps of suffering. It was just a month ago today, March 7th, that Chet Bitterman was shot to death. Chet Bitterman had been captured in his compound near Bogota, Colombia, South America, on January 19th. Some masked terrorists seized him, and they left 12 other people in that group of Wycliffe Bible translators. They took him and they hid him away for a number of days. And then they stated what they really wanted. They gave an ultimatum. They said, Chet Bitterman will be executed unless the Summer Institute of Linguistics and all its members leave Colombia by 6 p.m. February 19th. This young man, a native of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and graduate of Columbia Bible College, Columbia, South Carolina, of course, went through this ordeal bravely. He had memorized a number of years before that 1 Peter, word for word in both the English and the Greek. He was now trying to put that book into the language of this particular Indian tribe in South America, the Carihona Indian tribe in South Central Colombia. But his plans were frustrated, for it was 48 days after his capture that the guerrillas seized, commandeered a bus, took him out into some waste area of the Llanos in that part of the country south of Bogota, and they shot him to death. Should the 200 some Wycliffe Bible translators have left Colombia? That was the question, and there was a lot of soul searching in regard to it. It's like if terrorists would come to this campus and seize one of the faculty members and say, he is going to die unless the seminary closes, the faculty, the student body, the property, we get rid of all of it. It's not an easy answer. The president of the Wycliffe Bible Translators said, we made the decision not to knuckle under to the terrorists, even if it should mean that Chet would be killed. We made this decision years ago, before anyone had been captured. We did it aware that someday our hearts might ache with grief for a dearly beloved colleague. Above all, we did it with the calm assurance that we acted according to the will of God and in the tradition of those first century Christians who lived and died by the refreshingly simple imperative, we must obey God rather than men. The decision was made long ago. The decision was made that we follow in the steps of his suffering already when we became Christians. It has always been that way. It's during this week or the early part of April that we remember another martyr, Justin. It was, the Latin martyrologists give the date as April 14th, and the year was probably 167 A.D. And I have the account of Justin's martyrdom according to the shorter version from a 10th century manuscript. It's probably the most accurate. Justin was a Christian apologist living in the city of Rome. He was brought before the prefect, or like our mayor, I guess we would say, the prefect of Rome, a man by the name of Rusticus. Rusticus asked him, first believe in the gods and in the emperors. But Justin said to believe in the commandments of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is not worthy of accusation or reproof. And then Rusticus asked him about his doctrines, and Justin said, we worship the God of the Christians, whom we believe to be the one creator from the beginning, the constructor of all things, visible and invisible, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of whom also it was foretold by the prophets that he would come as the herald of salvation to the race of men, as the teacher of good pupils. And I, being a man, realize that what I am saying is something tiny in comparison with his boundless divinity. But it was prophesied concerning him whom I now say is the Son of God. For I know that the prophets once prophesied about his coming among men. Then Rusticus asked him, where do you live? And after several interrogations, Justus said, I live above the house of one Martin, near the baths of Timotinus. And during all this time, for this is my second period of residence in Rome, I have not known any other meeting place than this. And if anyone wanted to come to me, I shared with him the doctrines of the truth. And Rusticus asked him, for the rest, are you not a Christian? And Justin said, yes, I am a Christian. And then the prefect interrogated five other people who were with Justin, and he returned to Justin, listen to me, you are educated to judge from what you say. You think that you know what the true doctrines are? If you are flogged and decapitated, do you believe that you will ascend to the heavens? And Justin said, I hope that I will keep my faith in this, if this happens to me, for I know that the divine grace awaits all those who have lived in this way until the end of the world. Again, the prefect asked him, do you suspect that you will go up into the heavens and receive some reward? And Justin replied, I do not suspect it, I know it, and am most certain of it. And Rusticus, the prefect, said, well, it now remains to come to the business before us, which is urgent. Come together and unanimously offer sacrifice to the gods. And Justin said, no one in his right mind falls from piety into impiety. And then the holy martyrs, this account says, glorifying God, went out to the accustomed place, were flogged and beheaded, and fulfilled their martyrdom in the confession of their Savior. We are called to follow in his steps of suffering. And his suffering was a willing suffering. It was an innocent suffering, and it was a patient suffering, as the words indicate. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he gave himself over to him who judges righteously. We are called in that same way, to follow in the steps of suffering, but also to follow in the steps of dying. This is April 7th. According to the best chronologies, in the year 30 AD, April 7th, the Son of Man gave his life. This is the traditional and the most accurate date for Good Friday today. He himself, Peter tells us, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now we note here certainly a strong mark of substitution, that he carried our sins in our place and so forth. And indeed, that is the ground and pillar of our faith, that Christ Jesus is our substitute. At the same time, I suggest that Peter is saying that Christ Jesus is also our example in dying, and that we are to follow in his steps also in his death. Remember, Peter had been once a disciple of John the Baptist. He had seen and heard John say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the substitute. He is the carrier for the sins of the whole world. But that's different than he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Peter is here quoting from Isaiah 53, of course, but also from Leviticus 14, and also from Genesis 22, even as the writer to the Hebrews in the second chapter says that Abraham bore his son Isaac to the altar. And it is in this sense that we are dying with him, and he is then an example for our dying. Our sins are in his body. On his body they were carried away. And when he was crucified, our sins were crucified. We died there. When he carried our sins away, it is not only that our sins were crucified, they were killed, they were annulled, but even the very the sins themselves were broken, as it were. The guilt was reconciled, and the punishment for them was borne. That domineering dominion of sin was broken in our behalf. We died with him. We follow in his steps, also in dying. A group of missionaries were traveling to a remote place some years ago on a ship. The captain of the ship tried to dissuade these missionaries. "Well, you're all crazy. You're rashly risking your life to go to that place. You will certainly all die." Well, the missionary said, "We died before we left." That is right. We died before we left with Christ. We are also to follow in his steps in living. We do not know why Chet Bitterman was shot to death, the Christian witness, or why Justin Martyr was killed, the former at the age of 26, the latter in still the prime of life, after having written only at least what's preserved for us, a couple of apologies, and his dialogue was trifle. But we know that the people have always been asking, from the Old Testament prophets on, from Job, from Joel, Habakkuk, and the saints of old and today, why? And the only answer can be given in those words of Job 13, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." But in the case of our dying with Christ, there is an answer. In order that we might get loose from sin and live unto righteousness. Yes, we died with Christ. And that dying is, as Paul says in Romans 6, it's a dying. We died unto sin. We died with him, but now that we are departed from and loose from and rid of sin, we might live unto righteousness, that we might live in a state of righteousness, under his righteousness. And just in case there is any doubt yet, by his stripes you were healed. His forgiveness is over us. It's before us, behind us, beside us, within us, to bless us. We died with him that we might also live with him. Once we served sin, but now we died with him, and now we serve righteousness. Sin, its bonds and bands are broken. We can live to him in this glorious new day. Follow in his steps of suffering, of dying, and of living. Above all, in that light, have a nice day. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ. Amen.